Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to search out your word. God, above everything else, on this day that we celebrate your resurrection in communion, may it be a resurrection of our own spirits, God, a rebirth, a revival. May there be people who get born again as we study your word and the things of your word, which are enumerated, detailed, outlined, and spoken of. May we receive them now. Holy Spirit, do this work, because there's nothing I can do. Zero. Without you, I have nothing to say. I'm worthless. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Last week, when we studied, we looked at some crazy event that happened in the history of Israel. It was a few months after they were freed from Egypt, and they kind of were getting restless, and they wanted to go back to their old life, so to speak. And they were wondering, you know, why they even left Egypt in the first place. You forget that you were a slave, and this happens again to people that are born again. You come to church, you accept Christ as your Savior, and then the funny thing happens is, like, you realize there's a lot of living left to do. And then it's like, well, what is this, my whole life now? Would I just go to church on Sunday, sometimes on Wednesday? Every once in a while I hear a band. I mean, do I change the way I listen to music? Do I have to change my political affiliation? I mean, what do I do now that I'm a Christian? And then you start to get a bit of a taste back for the world. And you don't go back all the way, but you kind of go back halfway. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So Moses said to the people, said, okay, you want to hear from God? We'll let you hear from God. And they heard a trumpet so loud it was glaring in their ears. And then we read, if you were here last week, we read the story about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do this. And it was just like, it shredded us. It's like every one of us has broke every one of those things probably before we woke up this morning. And now the Apostle Paul, if he is indeed the one that wrote the book of Hebrews, as I believe he is, he kind of makes a little commentary on that. He references last week's study, which was last week's study for us. Obviously, he wrote it all in one piece. And he says, verse 25 of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, see that you don't refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from he who speaks from heaven. Please let me just explain that to you. He's trying to lay out for you the greatness of what we have here. So Moses back then spoke on earth, and the people that were there heard this voice on earth. And if they didn't escape, we're not going to escape. So many of us, especially those of us who hear, our whole lives, this is what we hear. It's the craziest thing in my opinion. I mean, I don't know, I accepted Christ in my mid to late 20s. But my whole life I knew God was knocking on my heart. Even though I was in the street, even though I was in jail and in prison and, man, just made a mess of my life, every horrible thing, I just knew there was always that, don't do that. Yeah, but I got to do that. Don't do that, but I got to do that. I always knew there was something. And it's the craziest thing. Some of us, we believe, like, the worse we were in the street, the further away from God we were. And generally speaking, here's what I learned. The deeper we were in the street, the closer we were to God. And I see... I knew this guy. His name was Frankie Biz. He was the son of what's called an underboss. And every time I used to get together with him, he'd have a bandage on his hand or his elbow. I was like, what happened? He'd go, I woke up in the middle of the night last night and I punched a hole through my window. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I don't know. Like, I was sleepwalking, I thought somebody was on the other side, and then when I woke up, my hand was through the window. I was bleeding. Or I got into a fight, and I hit my elbow on the nightstand. And I remember at the time, I was like, what a freaking weirdo you are. But now I understand. The guy was a called, tormented soul. He couldn't hear. This is all he heard the whole time. This is all he heard his whole life. It was the knock of, no matter what he was doing, where he was going. Isn't that annoying? That's no way to live. Imagine if I just sat there and listened, and the whole service, I'm just going to do this. Be like, you want to stop knocking on the pulpit? But we live our whole lives like that. And we can't figure out why we can't get anything done right, or everything's just, man, if they didn't escape the words of Moses on earth, how do you think you're going to escape him who calls you from heaven? And the fuller explanation of this, and the reason why you shouldn't ignore that call, is this. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, what he's doing is quoting from an Old Testament book called Haggai. Very few people know Haggai, unless you've read the Old Testament. Haggai. And Haggai has this really, in this obscure verse in chapter 2 of Haggai, it is a prophetic reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if you think I'm weird, you're about to think I'm a lot weirder if you're not with me on the same page. I'm going to tell you some basic essentials about Christianity right now, 101, day one. You might think this whole I go to church thing is cool. You might even think, hey, God, I realize you read the Bible, and that's cool. But let me tell you what's going to happen, and it ain't going to happen too long from now. We just read him quoting the Old Testament again. Yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Do you see what's happening in our world today? If you're young, you might not know it. Because if you take a frog and you put him in a pot of water and you turn up the heat slowly, he just dissolves. He doesn't jump out because he doesn't even realize the water's getting hot. At no point in time does he go, whoa, I'm out of here. He just, this is nice. It's warm. You ever go into a jacuzzi and it's like set? My wife has this thing. She has to set it on 104. I can't even get in it at 104. I have to turn it all the way down. Not that we go in jacuzzis that much, but when we do, that's what happens. Wow. That's next week's service. The jacuzzi thing. Don't bring it up again. I grew up in the 70s. Spent my teenage years in the 80s. I'm telling you honestly, guys, just 25, 30 years, this country is unrecognizable. This is not the nation I grew up in. And the crazy thing is, everything is going down exactly the way he said it would. There's a section of scripture. I'm going to refer to a bunch of scriptures, but listen. This is a section of scripture in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus says, you know, there's coming a time where you won't need any money because you're going to have to receive a mark. And the word for mark is tattoo. That's the original language. And you're going to receive this mark in your forehead or in your hand. And in order to have this mark, in order to buy any goods or services or food or what the Bible calls sustenance, you're going to need this mark. And back then we thought, this guy's wacko. This is why I don't believe the Bible. Look at this weird stuff. We don't say that no more. Now we go, holy crap, it's going down. We're right on the cusp of it, guys. Hey, you live in the best state in the country, but do you know what's going on? A buddy of mine from New York, I haven't talked to in years, calls me up. I know you're one of those Christians, man. They're making me get this vaccine. I work for the school board system. What should I do? I'm like, Bill, what do you want me to tell you? What should I do? Is this the mark of the beast? I mean, I heard about this. I'm like, Billy, relax, man. Talk to me. What's going on? He goes, I don't know what to do. They say if I show up to work on Monday and I don't have proof of my vaccine, I can't go to work. How am I going to feed my family? What am I supposed to do? I don't want them to stick this stuff in my... It's like, dude, you're 50 years old. Relax. So you're born again? Of course I'm born again. I believe in Jesus. Then don't get the vaccine and let God take care of you. But I know like 50 people and they got the vaccine and they're fine. Nothing happened to them. Like, yeah, I probably know 100 people like that. Because, okay, so then should I get the vaccine? I said, you just ask me my opinion. I can't tell you what you should do. I'm only telling you there's no way nobody's sticking no vaccine in my body. But, look, man, obviously you got questions about it. Why are you calling me? The people I got the vaccine, get the vaccine. I ain't judging nobody get a vaccine, I told them. I'm just telling you, I'm not getting no vaccine. Why? Well, number one, I already had the virus. Why would I get the virus? Why would I get the vaccine if I had the virus? Well, I heard if you get the vaccine, you won't get hospitalized. Like, look, you can tell me any way that you want me to tell you it's okay to vaccine. I ain't going to tell you to get the vaccine. I'm going to tell you I would never get the vaccine. You got to do what you got to do to take care of your family. And now I'm wondering myself, I'm this deep into the conversation. In my head, I'm like, I haven't talked to this guy in 10 years. Why is he calling me? Because when they know you're a Christian and they know you're serious about the things of the Lord, even though they mock you and make fun of you, even though they put you down, even though they separate from you, when the stuff goes down, guess who they gonna call? Yet once more I shake not only earth but also heaven. Now this, verse 27, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Please, again, may I have your attention? He's laying down a foundation. First, he says, if they didn't escape him who spoke on earth, how much more will you not escape if you ignore him who speaks from heaven? And here's what he means. Who is calling you? Well, keep your place here. We come back. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, the 96th chapter of the book of Psalms. Now, we're going some 3,000 years back in time. Chapter 96 of the book of Psalms, go all the way down to verse 13. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Two psalms later, in Psalm 98, verse 9 of the same chapter of 98. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. If you are here and you're a Jew, what makes you a Jew is not that you are a descendant of Abraham. For the Lord Jesus said, I tell you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. What makes you a Jew is, number one, you believe that the Old Testament is the Word of God. And if you believe, not just study, not just recite, if you go to a Hebrew temple, if you go and they Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Amotzi Lachem Min HaAretz, and you have no idea what you're saying, you're just reciting a poem. You're just saying a psalm. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings us forth bread from the earth. Don't even know what you said. You just said it. That don't make you a Jew. What makes you a Jew, number two and most important, is you believe Messiah is coming. That all this sin and all this knocking, which won't stop until Messiah comes. And he will put an end to the sin of the world. And then as a Christian, we now receive not only the Old Testament, but then the New Testament. The words of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. First, he who spoke from earth, now to he who speaks from heaven." He who ascended to heaven speaks and he says, "I'm coming back." The Jews believed Messiah was coming, but here's what happened. They didn't understand what they were reading, and I'm going to tell you why. Remember I warned you, we're going a little detailed, and we're going to think I'm a little weird, but there's two representations of the Lord's coming in the Old Testament, and one of them was he is coming as a baby. Behold, swaddling from the town of Bethlehem. I can read you about 15 or 20 verses from the Old Testament that talk about God coming as a child. So they thought, the Jews, that he was coming as a baby, but yet he was also coming as a conquering king. So they mistakenly thought that he was going to come as a baby, he was going to grow up, and he was going to lead a rebellion against Rome. But that's not what happened. That's why the Jews have what's called a stumbling block. You know what the Jews' stumbling block is? Jesus was crucified. I don't understand. If Messiah is dead, how can he? And it's like the puzzle piece that fits perfectly, but you refuse to believe it fits. If you do puzzles at all, some pieces, I don't know, they didn't cut this thing right. No, it fits in good. Nah, I don't like it. Yeah, but look, the picture matches up. Yeah, but I don't like it. But it's the right puzzle piece! Sorry. My kids are constantly, it's the right piece, but I don't like that piece there. And that's what the Jews are like. I don't like that puzzle piece there. So as Christians, we believe in Messiah, but you ready? We believe he's coming back. Weird, orthodox, crazy Christian. Here's what I believe. Here's what the Bible teaches. Are you ready for it? We are going to get what's called raptured. We believe at just the right time, God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. And he will shake what can be shaken, that what remains might be strengthened. And you don't want to be strengthened like that. Believe me when I tell you, you don't want to be left behind. For those who are his are going to get snatched up out of this world in one fell swoop. You believe that? Or you just think I'm weird? And then you know what's going to happen after that? No time frame given. The second coming of Jesus Christ, where he comes as the conquering king. You have this thing called the rapture. That's not the second coming. And some people confuse that. They think the rapture is the second coming. It's not. First, the second coming. And then some years later, no time frame given in Scripture. Now, this is what they call in fancy circles of Bible study, eschatology, the study of end times. Because even though the world will tell you the circle of life, life is not circular, it's linear. It has a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it has an ending. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because when he comes and puts an end to those that mock him, he does it without the grace that we understand now. See, now is what they call a dispensation. A dispensation, another big fancy Bible study word. First, the dispensation of pre-law, when the verbal written word of God was only on the hearts but not written. And then God gave the Old Testament, which is the dispensation of law. Then there was the intertestamental dispensation, right in between, when the prophets stopped speaking to the time of Messiah. Then there was this really small period in between when the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. And that's a great mystery there. But then, the time of grace, where God is not holding men's sins against them. Doesn't matter what you did, murderer, thief, rapist, liar, and every sin down that line you could think of, whatever it is. For the price of admission alone, you are forgiven. Father, would you please forgive me? Gay, straight, trans, it don't matter. All are welcome. Don't let anybody in your school lie to you. Don't let anybody in your family tell you otherwise. Don't believe CNN, NBC, Fox News. Don't let any of them tell you what. You are all welcome before the Lord. All you have to do is say, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you will raise from the dead by the Father, and you will be saved from this wicked generation. You will go to heaven. But, and this is the big, big, big but, what if you're ignoring him? What if you're too busy? What if you know the Lord? What if you're not bad or good? You're just kind of lukewarm. What if you know the truth about God's word, but you're just really having a good time with life right now? I'm going to convince you. Continuing, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Point number three here is, if you escaped him who, if they did not escape them who spoke on earth, how much more shall they not escape him who speaks from heaven? He's a consuming fire. This dispensation of grace is about to come to an end as we watch. Well, let's see what we're watching. If you would please, we're leaving here. We're not coming back. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. That is just a handful of pages to the left. It's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 24. Some of you might have some questions about some of the things that I'm saying, because the time of judgment is about to begin as things start to get hectic. Listen to the way the Lord Jesus. If you have one of those Bibles that's color-coded, one of those fancy ones, notice it's in red. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him, came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, what that was a prophecy for some 70 years after he wrote this. A man named Titus went into Jerusalem and tore the temple down to the ground, so much so they burned it with fire so hot so they can get the gold inlays that were in between the stones out. There was not one stone left upon another. There have been three temples, guys. Number one was the Temple of Solomon. David wrote the layout for it. His son Solomon built this beautiful temple. Then that was torn down to the ground. And this great king, King Herod, who turned out to be like a wicked, wicked dude, he rebuilt it. That was Herod's temple. Then this guy came and with the Roman guard and tore that temple down. And you're going to see, as we study, there's yet one temple left to be built. The temple will be rebuilt. And that is how, if you are here, guys, listen to me. If you don't get raptured and you're here after I'm gone, if you come next Sunday and I'm not here, accept Christ as your Savior, get serious about it, and watch for the rebuilding of the temple. Because when they rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, well, let me read to you and I'll explain it while we read. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Anybody know what that word pestilences means? Pandemics. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. You know what will happen? We will get raptured. Now, again, teaching the Bible from a studious, biblical, scholarly perspective, you have three schools of thought when it comes to eschatology. Number one, pre-trib. At Calvary Chapel, according to the teachings of Chuck Smith, we are what's called pre-tribulationist. We believe before the things get really bad, God will rapture us. Remember I said there's two events we're looking for. Number one, the rapture. Number two, the second coming. In between that is something called the Great Tribulation, otherwise known as Jacob's Trouble, where stuff goes down in this world so horrible. Now the question is, though, how did you grow up? Because if you grew up with a silver spoon in a fancy house, things are getting bad now. But if you grew up and you know what hunger is and you know, things might not, maybe you're from the Middle East, maybe you're from, like, let's talk Venezuela now. Things are bad. Like, take an American now, you put him in the Middle East, you take an American, you put him in some of these South American countries. You know what's going on in Haiti right now? Man, that's bad news, man. But it's going to get much worse. According to the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. We believe before things get really bad, God's going to rapture us. Some people believe it's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation, and yet there's still other Bible teachers that teach that the rapture does not happen until the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is called the post-tribulation. My pastor, Pastor Bob Coy, used to always say, "Let's make believe you go when you think you're going to go." I'll choose pre-trib. I'll be pre-trib. Because, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by David the prophet standing in the holy place, and then parenthetically it says, "Whoever reads, let him understand." Now, how many of you guys have no idea what the abomination of desolation is? Show of hands, be honest. Okay, enough of you that I can explain it. In the time of Daniel the prophet, there was a very famous ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes. He believed he spoke for God. And then he believed he was God. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And the temple was built, this beautiful temple, and he wanted the Jews to be in subjection to him. He wanted the Jews to do his bidding. Isn't it weird how all through history people have hated the Jews? Why is that? Because they're God's chosen. And why is it now we have replaced that being Christians, and now the whole world hates Christians because we're God's people? So this Antiochus Epiphanes, here's what he does. He literally, now, listen guys, this is not biblical. This is historical. So if you're here and you don't even believe the Bible, look, you're just telling me about the Bible says about the Bible, a commentary of the Bible with the Bible is kind of a weird thing. It's a circular argument. You're arguing for yourself with yourself. No, I am now teaching you history. Antiochus Epiphanes, you can look his name up, Google it, that's fine. Yes, the word epiphany means a revelation from God. So the whole, that word, he believed he was a revelation from God, Antiochus Epiphanes. So he goes into the temple and he tells the Jews to worship him because he's God. And they would not do it. They said they won't do it. So he takes a pig, which is an unclean animal, and he brings it into the temple and he puts it onto the altar of sacrifice and he sacrifices a pig on the altar. I mean, it's an unclean animal. To the Jews, this was what? The abomination of desolation. Now, not knowing what Antiochus Epiphanes was doing, but the Lord Jesus says, you here till the end of days, know this, the abomination of desolation is going to happen again. Reader, understand. When the Jews rebuild the temple, there's going to be, according to Scripture now, a 7-year pact made, and there will be peace in the Middle East guaranteed through this treaty for 7 years. And then halfway through this treaty, guess who is going to do the abomination of desolations? The Antichrist. Now, so many people wonder, well, is Joe Biden the Antichrist? Was Donald Trump the Antichrist? Is this one the Antichrist? Listen, believer, you're not going to be here when the Antichrist reveals himself. Don't worry about it. Don't look for him now, because you're not going to find him. Please remember that. Now, again, things are going to get bad here. They are. It's already starting to go down. I mean, I don't know where our government can go from here. Like, we've got now a guy in office who thinks he's like the emperor. We're supposed to be a democratic republic. We're supposed to be a representative republic. A representative democracy where the people that we put in office are supposed to do what we want them to. That's why we voted them in. They're doing whatever the heck they want to do. Enacting laws, putting regulations as law. It is true tyranny. True tyranny. And it's going to get worse before we're out. I don't believe it's going to get better. I don't. Donald Trump's not coming back into office. We're not going to ever have another person in office who cares about this country. They're all liars. I don't care whether they have an R in front of their name or a D in front of their name. It doesn't make a difference. They do not speak for us. It's about time we get serious about that. However, this Antichrist, he goes into the new temple being built by the Jews. Even now, you could look it up. The Temple Renewal Project, or something to that effect. And the Jews are currently now have all the plans and all the instruments to rebuild the temple. The biggest problem they're having is with the Palestinians and the Muslims. The place where they believe the temple should be, there's a mosque on it. And what's happening is, if you hear about all this, well, if they would just divide Jerusalem, if they would just give part of that to the Palestinians and the other part to the Jews. And here's what happens. The Bible says in the Old Testament, I do not remember the exact, Tom, if you remember, remind me. He says, he who divides Jerusalem I will make them a cup of trembling on the earth. Like, I want you to think about this. Israel, I mean, Jerusalem itself is smaller than West Palm Beach. And yet the whole world is focused on what's going on. Oh my God, did you see what AOC did? She wanted to pull the funding. Did you see what's going on in Israel? This is why. This is why this is so important. This is why the whole world is watching. And the Antichrist, he will go and he will commit the abomination of desolations. And then what happens? Good question. Let's find out. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That word for elect, so let me tell you what he's saying. Things are going to get so bad on earth, so bad. And unless I intervened, nobody would be left. But for the sake of the elect, that means those people that are left here after. You know how many people? You know how people are going to show up to church next week potentially? Let's say the rapture happens on Thursday night. You guys get here on Sunday, like, where is everybody? And there's only like a smattering of a few people. Hey, where'd everybody go? It's not Sunday? They turn the clocks back? And you go, oh my goodness, I missed it. And you come right up here and you go, God, I'm sorry. I believe, forgive me. I missed heaven by 18 inches. What does that mean? You knew it here, but you didn't have it here. And you missed heaven by 18 inches. But now you have to live through the tribulation. And for your sake, the Lord's going to put an end to this, he says. Continuing. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, don't believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see, I've told you beforehand. Now, have I mentioned that this is the Lord Jesus doing the speaking here? These are the words of Christ 3,000 years ago, guys. Not 3,000, 2,150. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. Better translated, that word eagles is vultures. He says, you want to know when the Son of Man's coming back? You ain't going to miss it. You won't miss it. If they say, oh, I know this preacher, you who believe, you're not going to miss it. Don't worry. Just like the vultures know how to find the carcasses, you that are left behind, I'll be right there for you. Kind of a weird way to put it. I don't really like that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Here's that word again. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. At the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, this is probably the most important verse. Listen. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whose master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Surely I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, in an hour he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me go through that with you real quick. Let me, before I even go through that, like right now there's this really major, fearfully spiritual hush on us. And some of you guys are like, holy crap, is he telling the truth? Is he really going to go down like... Is that, are you going to walk out of here? You're going to eat your lunch. And by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, this feeling that you have in your heart now, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. Don't worry. It's going to be gone. You can go right back to living your life. And next week, you can, you know, you worry about the sex service, and that'll be it. Or open the door. Let him in. Everything that you do from here on out, you can do for the Lord. Now, before I finish that sentence, listen. He says, just like the days of Noah, I want you to imagine this. The Lord Jesus. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, tune out. Who really cares? Well, I believe the Bible's like a cool book. I mean, I like the whole thing, like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, you like that part? Yeah. You can't believe that. I'm sorry. Not unless you believe what I'm telling you now. Oh, now you're going to tell me what I can and can't believe? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. That's my job. I'd rather you leave here going, that guy's nuts. Forget about that guy and forget about his church. Then you leave here in any other midway. In any other lukewarmness, in any, I rather you go, I have to live for God from now on. Everything I do for Christ, because I don't know when he's coming. And I ain't having him come back. I'm not going to be like one of those people during Noah's flood. I got to have you do that. There's a great scene in the Bible where the Lord Jesus, matter of fact, we're going to do communion in about 5 minutes. Don't get up yet, guys, but we're going to do it. And he said to these guys there, he said, hey, I want you guys to eat my body and drink my blood. And they went, excuse me? He went, yeah, we're going to do this thing. It's a sacrament of the church. It's called communion. I want you guys to eat my body. And they were like, whoa, the dude's a weirdo. And here's the exact thing they said. This is a hard saying. Who could know it? And he said, does that offend you? The Lord Jesus said, does that offend you? Are you offended that I said to eat my body and drink my blood? And he let them leave, man. They just split. He didn't go, wait, here's what I was. Oh, I should have led him to the Lord first. Should have said this prayer. He didn't. He let him go. And then those that were left over, he said to them, do you want to leave also? And those that were left over, his apostles, they said, we have no place else to go. You have the words of life. He literally said to those people, I'm talking about spiritual things and you don't get it. What if I start talking about reality? Will you get that? I mean, literally, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he said. You don't get, this is like the basic of the basic. This is Christianity 101. You don't understand this? And you're supposed to be the teachers of the people? No wonder. The people were like sheep without a shepherd. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, going to a really large church growing up, I was disgusted by what was around me. Because let me tell you about myself for a minute. I was sold out. I was an Italian-American, even though I wasn't really half Italian. I was sold out for my culture, for my cause, for my family, everything. I did whatever I had to do when I was asked to do it. I did time if I had to do time. I did whatever. I was sold out. And when I started going to church, I wanted to be sold out for that. And I would get there. And I got tattoos, and I'd go there, and I'd have a wife beater on. I'd sit in the back, and this guy, come on. What's this about? I've been hearing this my whole life, and I'm sick of it. Tell me what it's about. And I see people walk into church and walk out of church and not be affected. I was so disgusted by half-baked, lukewarm Christianity. I was disgusted. Like, if this is what it's about, I don't want nothing to do with it. Thank you very much anyway. And now, again, as a young Christian, I'd be surrounded by these half of faggot Christians who rather wear a dress and they're offended every time you say this and that. Oh, I didn't even hang out with that guy. He's the Lord. It's like, so mad. All these people. And now, as a pastor, you want to know what offends me? Every single church wants one thing. More people. We need more people. Let's make the services shorter. Yeah, we're going to do a 15-minute service. Don't forget to leave your money in the box, though. Well, it's COVID. The government says shut down. We better not have church. Somebody might get sick and die. The Bible says this. God will judge the world. You judge the church. We got it so wrong. The church sits and judges the world. I'm looking on YouTube. I want to see a funny video. I want to watch a fail video. I want to watch somebody fall off a ladder and get hurt. Please, don't show me a video of a pastor telling people what they... Gay people are going to hell. You're going to hell, buddy. You're going to hell because you're more interested in your clicks. I love that. You get your worship on YouTube, right? Get your worship on YouTube, but you got to wait for 3 commercials. Like, wait a second. What did we miss here? What did you guys miss? You're worshiping God, but make sure you get your 5 cents from YouTube when you do. You know what? You can be any sin you want outside that wall. I'll let God worry about that. You know what I'm going to worry about? What goes on here. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. I'm almost done. That day and hour, no one knows, but just as the days of the rapture, it's the same days as Noah. I want you to think about this for a second. Visualize this. This guy, he starts building a boat. And for 100 years, he's building this thing, and people walk by like, what is that? It's a boat called an ark. What are you going to do with it? Well, water is going to fall from the sky. It's going to flood the entire earth. And me and my family are going to be on there. You can join us if you want. Water from the sky. Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous because back when Noah was building it, the earth was filled with what's called a firmament. There was no water from outside. It came up from the ground. It was like a greenhouse. and it watered itself. You know what's going to happen? God's going to come back and he's going to pull all his people right out of the earth. You believe that, huh? Weirdo. Weirdo. You believe that, right? One day you're here, next day you're not, like, left behind. Got it. Okay. But here's the thing he didn't say that I want you to think about. What do you think about when that sky cracked open and that rain came down and the earth was so flooded and the only thing that was moving was the boat? According to the book of Genesis, God closed the door on the ark and sealed it shut. Could you imagine how many days people were floating around on homemade rafts? Let us in, please. We're sorry. We were wrong. He killed the... You know how many... Listen. According to the genealogies in the Bible, there was more than 4 billion people on the earth when the flood of Noah came. And all but 8 of them were killed. You get this? You think I'm a weirdo? Man, I am I'm a sold out, super crazy, nut job weirdo. So how ought we live? Since who is this faithful servant, verse 45, whom his master made rule over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he so comes, will find so doing. Surely I say to you, he'll make him ruler over all his goods. Let me explain to you what we're supposed to do. You ready? And here's where I'm done. As a matter of fact, you guys can start giving out the communion elements right now. I didn't read you guys a bunch of verses, but that's okay. I think you got the point. Here's our job now. Because you have the opportunity to leave here and be changed forever, or you have the opportunity to do nothing. The guy's out of his mind. I don't believe a word he said. Do me a favor. Listen, there's a church right up there. Really nice church. Go there from now on, okay? There's another nice church, like right across the street. A nice guy runs it. He's from my old church. He's a really nice kid. He's nice. And he gives a nice word. Go there. But if you don't believe the things that I'm saying, please don't come back here. Please find someplace else to go where they can tell you nice things. I'm not going to tell you nice things. I'm going to tell you truthful things. And if they're nice, they're nice. If they're not nice, they're not nice. So when you get these elements, please hold on to them. We're going to take communion together. So here's what your response should be. What is it that you do for a living? I want you to think about what it is that your day is filled with. I'm looking around, and I know some of you guys, and some of you guys are students. Some of you guys work as salespeople in stores. Some of you guys take care of kids. Some of you guys are MMA fighters. So you guys got all these different air conditioning, refrigeration, automobile, whatever it is. From now on, do it for the Lord. Do you understand that you and the Lord makes you better at everything? Debbie is the absolute best roof salesperson she could be because she does unto the Lord. And you just lost all of your credit now. There it is. All the reward gone because you got a hand from the crowd. That's all. You don't have to leave here and put on like a tunic and walk around with a sandwich board that says repent or burn, you know, turn or burn. You don't have to stand on the corner. You don't have to become a preacher. You don't have to get in ministry. You're already in ministry. You know what ministry is? Life. Life's ministry. Just everything you do from now on. Okay, God, you got me here. Next customer I see, I'm going to pray for him. I'm not even asking you to pray for every customer. I'm just asking you to choose one a day. Making phone calls. Let's say you do cold calls. You sell insurance. Thank you, brother. I want you to pick one of your customers tomorrow that comes in to buy insurance and just pray. I'm going to pray for one. That's all. Just give God a chance to show up a little bit. That's all your response has to be. Don't let this scare you like, I'm telling you, man, I have to tell the world about this. No, you don't. God will tell the world. All you need to do is take the life that you have now and fight for the Lord. That's your response. If you want that knocking on your heart to stop, if you don't want me to do that again, just answer the call. I don't care how old you are. You guys want to hear the greatest story in the world? My grandfather was 99 years old. Some of you guys already heard this story because I've said it about 6,000 times. But I'm never going to grow old saying this story. Me and Austin were at Home Depot. We got out of Home Depot, and my phone rang, and it said, Nathan. Nathan was my grandfather's name. And I answered the phone, what's up, Nat? I'm dying, son. I'm dying. I'm like, it's okay. Gramps, it's okay. I'm dying. I don't want to die. I'm not done yet. Guy's 99. It's like, really? I said, Nate, you've been living on borrowed time for 35 years. Relax. I said, you don't want to die, Gramps? No. I said, say this prayer with me. I got it. Thank you, brother. Dear God, he said, dear God, I open my heart. He said, I open my heart. I let you inside. I said this whole sinner's prayer with him. And he said everything. And I go, I said, Gramps, you ain't got nothing to worry about now. Because when you die, you're going to see the Lord face to face. And all this pain is going to go away. Are you sure? I'm positive. Okay. And like my grandfather, he never said goodbye. He just hung up the phone on you. And me and Austin looked at each other. Did that just happen? Weird. Crazy. 99. And he died just a few weeks later. As a matter of fact, he was in a catatonic state. Bubba, do you remember? How old were you back then? 11 or 12? Me and my son went to see him. He was at this rehab facility, like rehab, not drug rehab, like, you know, rehab facility where you, where when you're sick and you're supposed to get better. And I had this wooden cross, and we put it on his neck, and we prayed for him. And there was this Haitian woman that was in there taking care of him, and she looked at me. He's going to be fine now. I was more of a, that was a different accent. How'd you use that Haitian accent? It's a terrible Haitian accent. He was going to be fine now. Jamaican. It was great. Everything is going to be out. But she was Haitian. She wasn't Jamaican. I wish she was Jamaican because I got that one down. So if he can do that for a 99-year-old guy who lived his whole life for himself, listen to me. If you thought that the 60s were sex, drug, and rock and roll, you ask somebody about the 20s. The 20s were debauchery defined. Look it up. The 20s were crazy sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Way worse than the 60s. Yep. All right. So we're going to do the sacrament of what's it called? Communion. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was crucified, he sat all his apostles down. He said, listen, I want you to take and eat this. I want you to do this in memory of me. And every time you do this, think about me until I return. So as a church, once a month, we do communion. We take the matzah and the grape juice. The matzah is the representation of him. He was a sinless man. In the Bible, there's what's called leaven, which in our day and age, it's called, help me, yeast. And when you don't put yeast in bread, this is what happens. It has no yeast. It has no leaven. It has no sin. And if you look at it, the bread, it's burnt, and it has holes in it, as he was pierced and definitely burnt by his friends. The representation is, God, even if they do this to me, I want to identify with you. If you, again, can die for me, then I can live for you. Now, if you're here and you're serious about these things, and the things that I said either sufficiently scared you enough to receive them, or, man, you've been waiting for communion. Now, please keep this in mind. There is no, like, you have to do communion like this. Any way you do communion. As a matter of fact, me and my family used to do communion as a family all the time. We used to bust out a little bread, hand it around. We just drink. You can do it at home. You can do it weekly. You can do it daily. You can do communion every night if you want before you go to bed. Anyway, we do it once a month here at Calvary Chapel, Deerfield Beach, and this is how we do it. We lift this up to the Lord and say, God, this is a representation of your body, and I want my body to be completely one with your body, spiritually speaking. So this is you, now it's me. In the Catholic Church, they have this thing called transubstantiation. Another fancy Bible word. They believe that the bread and the wine actually became, through the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. We do not believe that. It's kind of ridiculous, actually. What happened one time, a priest spilled the wine. That's why they don't give you the wine anymore at the Catholic Church. They kind of just put the thing in there, and then they tell you it's with it. Hey, listen, whatever is going to get you closer to the Lord. But remember, it's not the Holy Eucharist, if you're Catholic or from a Catholic background, it's not the Holy Eucharist that brings you to the Lord. It's your confession to Christ. This is supposed to be a sacrament. This is something that you do as a practice. Come on. If you're like me, today's Sunday. By Wednesday, I'm a bloody mess. I can't wait to get back into church on Wednesday. I mean, there's a very famous preacher. His name was D.L. Moody. And everything he preached was being filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And they said, how come you always talk about being filled with the Spirit? And he said, because I leak. And that's it. Right now, you're going to leave here. You're going to feel good. But tomorrow morning, business, and tonight, and you're going to get into an argument. And if you only go to church once a week, oh, you're going to be a wreck by Sunday next week. That's why we keep come back in and doing this. This is a representation of Christ's blood. And it means, as he said, it is the new covenant written in my blood. This means no longer do you have to go to the temple and sacrifice a goat, a lamb, a ram. Now, by the word of your mouth, in the book of Romans, it says this, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's close to your heart. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Like, it's upon me now? Salute. As we say in Italian, cindan, 100 years, right? Go ahead. Remember the warning for next week. If you're not going to be here on Wednesday, the next time I see you, we're going to have a deep conversation about the intimacy of marriage. So be here and be ready. Thank you so much, guys, for sharing this time with us. Love you. And we will see you tonight at 6 o'clock at the beach at Deerfield. And we will worship God and pray for the people that walk by. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we thank you for this time. May that word sink deep into our heart, and may you bring out those that do not know you tonight, that we would be able to lead somebody else to you. We love you, and we thank you for your word. I believe it's true, and I wait for the rapture, and we cry out like the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul when they said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen.